Good evening. Welcome to our service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Lord willing, I'd like to conclude our little study that we have been working on the issue of sanctification, being a sanctified people. And the Bible calls us to be a holy people. And note there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we are so thankful for the fact that we have such a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I ask and pray if there are some present here this evening that have yet to formally know him. Lord, I pray that this will be the day of their salvation. Now, God, I pray that you teach us further concerning your greatness, your goodness, and teach us how to be a holy people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Here in verse number 23, the Bible talks about the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. There is peace in holiness. As you and I pursue a holy life, there is peace therein. There is no peace in unholiness. There is peace in holiness. And the Bible teaches us that we are to be holy, fully holy, completely. And the Apostle Paul's prayer for these believers was that they be holy. He said, "I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless." To be holy means to be blameless unto the coming, or for the coming, of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible talks about being holy in body. We've already addressed that issue. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, leading to chapter 7, talks about having a holy body. We have addressed the issue of being holy in soul. The soul is in reference to the mind, the will, the emotions. How do we have a holy mind? We need to be renewed in our minds with the Word of God. We need to think biblically, Philippians 4:8. We need to cast down wrong thoughts, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We might have sanctified minds. How do you have a sanctified will? Remember Romans chapter 6. We need to yield our lives to Jesus Christ, our new master, and tell that old master, sin, the devil, the flesh, to buzz off. I have a new master, I've got a new boss, and let's yield our hearts to him. Last Sunday night, we talked about sanctifying our emotions. How do you sanctify your emotions? Well, by placing our faith in the truth of the Word of God. That's how we sanctify our emotions. Claiming the promises of God's Word. Resting in what God has said. Obeying the Word of God by faith. As we take these steps of faith in the Word of God, the right emotions will be cultivated. Now, last but not least, we've talked about being sanctified in body, being sanctified in soul, mind, will, and emotions. The Bible also talks about being sanctified in spirit. What does it mean to be sanctified in our spirits? If you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, note then verse 7 and 8. Where do you begin in being sanctified in spirit? Well, this is where we begin. Note here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto," let's say it together, "holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God." Because God is holy, is he not? So if we belittle the importance of holiness in our lives, it's a slap in the face to God. Because God is holy. And then, verse 8 goes on to read, "But God hath also given unto us," note, He is, let's say it together, Holy Spirit. He is Holy Spirit. God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. God has given to us His Holy Spirit. God the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And that's where you begin. In being sanctified in spirit, is that we must understand that God the Spirit is holy. God the Spirit is holy. Our spirit, we have an eternal spirit. Our body is not eternal. We will receive a glorified body at the rapture, but this body is breaking down. I think most of us would agree with that. Very quickly, the process speeds up as you move along in life. Our soul, our mind, will, and emotions is you, your personality. It's you. It's what we connect with. Your spirit is eternal. Before salvation, our spirit, one spirit, is dead to God. Note there in Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. Concerning our spirit, and you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Our spirit being eternal, before salvation, is dead to God. It is destined to a Christless eternity. We are eternal beings. God has made us in His image. God is eternal. We have an eternal spirit. We'll live somewhere, we'll exist somewhere forever in eternity. So our spirit is eternal, and before salvation, our spirit is dead to God. Now, in John chapter 3, we are told that we are born again, born from above, by the Spirit. Note there in the Gospel of John chapter 3. Lord Jesus, in the third verse, said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again, born from above, because our spirit is dead. Then note verse number 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wills. Thou hearest the sound thereof. Canst tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So we are born again by the Holy Spirit when we repent of our sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Until that point, our spirit is dead to God. But we are born again by the Spirit of God when we lift up our eyes and we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Eternal destruction, our dead spirit without Christ will spend eternity apart from Him in a place called hellfire. But praise God for the gospel. Praise God for the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, praise God, the Son of Man has been lifted up. And for you and I that repent of our sin and we turn to Christ and we receive Him as Savior, we are born again. We are born from above. Our dead spirit is made alive by the Holy Spirit. We are born of the Spirit, the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus. Go to Titus chapter 3, please. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5.
Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. And all of God's people said, Amen. But according to His mercy, He saved us. Not a few, us. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So God the Spirit quickened our dead spirit. Our eternal dead spirit was dead in trespasses and sin. And when you and I repented of sin and placed our faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior, God the Spirit performed the new birth. We were born again, renewed by the Holy Spirit of God. It's our spirits be made alive. And with that, the Bible teaches us that at salvation we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Our salvation is eternal. Our dead spirit, that spirit that was once dead to God, is eternal and has a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. According to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 13. In fact, let's read verses 12 to 14. This is wonderful. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So the Bible teaches us that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now what does that involve? Well, it simply and profoundly involves the fact that God's Spirit indwells us. And that is our seal that we belong to Jesus Christ. That our spirit is no longer dead to God, it's alive to God, and to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Praise God for that. And as we stressed last week, that death is not an accident, it's an appointment, but yet we have hope in Christ, do we not? That to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, and God has given to us His Holy Spirit. We are sealed. With that blessed Holy Spirit, we are preserved in Jesus Christ. And that encompasses the fact that God's Spirit indwells us. Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Are you still with me? Okay. I'll get to my main point. Just bear with me. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 9, now ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That is, your spirit has been made alive. How is the Spirit made alive? Now, so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So our dead spirit has been quickened. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. It's very clear, isn't it? Look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Holy Spirit indwells the child of God. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That spirit that was once dead to God. When you and I believed in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and we repented of our sin and received Christ as Savior,
God's Spirit performed the new birth. And beyond that, He sealed us. He indwells us as His people. Then we move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. Note the connection between verses 16 and 17. Not only that 17 follows 16, but the teaching of verse 16 in relation to 17. Okay, that's my point. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Right? That's 16. Look at 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is what? Holy. Which temple ye are. So the Bible teaches us that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you as a child of God. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Our body is the temple, the dwelling place. Beyond just the dwelling place, a temple is a place of worship. Worship. We worship God in the Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells us so we can worship God who is Spirit. And we are not to defile the temple of God, because the temple of God is holy. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are what? God's. So my point is simply this, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and to be sealed by the Holy Spirit means that I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and because I am indwelt by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, this body is to be holy. Holy. And as we read there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that God has given to us His Holy Spirit, and to be sanctified in spirit means that we acknowledge His holy presence in our lives and we honor Him accordingly. I mean, the Holy Spirit indwells us. Can the Holy Spirit sin? No. So the Spirit of God, who is without sin, who is holy, indwells us. How are we to be holy in spirit then? See where I'm going? If He's already holy, the Bible tells me that we are to be sanctified in body, soul, and spirit. God the Holy Spirit is already holy. And if you and I are to be sanctified in spirit, we need to acknowledge His holy presence in our lives and honor Him accordingly. That's how we sanctify the Spirit, our eternal spirit, where the blessed Holy Spirit indwells us, seals us. Under the day of redemption, we need to acknowledge His holy presence in our lives and honor Him. How do you do that? How do we have sanctified spirits? How should we treat the Holy Spirit that indwells us, who is holy?
and be holy in body, soul, and spirit. Well, the Bible gives us some help, and it teaches us first and foremost that we need to be careful lest we blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Note there in Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? The word blaspheme here means to insult or to reject. And what this means, in essence, to my understanding, is that a person that commits the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is really in reference to an unbeliever. A person that rejects the work of the Spirit, rejects the work of the Spirit to convict of sin and righteousness of judgment. And they won't repent. So to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to insult or reject his offer of salvation and the work of the Spirit. That is the only unpardonable sin, to my understanding. So I'd like to think for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have that assurance and you will not commit such a sin because you know Christ. So the Bible talks about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but then it also talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. So the blasphemy of the Spirit is to insult or reject his offer of salvation, God the Spirit, convicting a person of their sin and somebody resisting that. There is no forgiveness if they reject God's offer of forgiveness. So it's in reference to an unbeliever. Let's address the believer now and how the believer can have an unsanctified spirit. A believer can have an unsanctified spirit by grieving the Holy Spirit. Note there in Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 30 and 31, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So he's referring to believers, is he not? Believers are sealed unto the day of redemption by God's Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just say Spirit, Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto thy redemption. And then note verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So how does a believer grieve the Holy Spirit who seals us, indwells you and I as God's people, we grieve him with sin. The word grieve means to sadden, to make God the Spirit sad by entertaining sin. We grieve the presence of God's Spirit. And beloved, you and I cannot possibly be sanctified in spirit if we are grieving Him. We are saddening Him by sin, such as bitterness or anger, evil speaking, wrath, bitterness, etc. Sin saddens the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God who indwells us is a divine person, the third person of the Godhead. And when you and I entertain sin, we grieve Him. We sadden Him. We crush His Spirit. So to have an unsanctified spirit means that I'm grieving the Spirit of God by tolerating sin within my life. And remember, your body, my body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible also talks about quenching the Spirit.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19. So an unbeliever can blaspheme the Holy Spirit by rejecting God's offer of eternal life through the work of the Spirit. A believer can grieve the Holy Spirit. A believer can quench the Spirit. Note then verse 19, quench not the Spirit. The word quench means to extinguish. To extinguish, literally to extinguish the fire of God's Spirit in our lives. Don't quench the Spirit, beloved. And the chief means, I believe, that many of God's people quench the Spirit is a spirit of unbelief. Unbelief. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Have faith in God. And when you and I do not have faith in the God of the Bible, we quench the Spirit. We extinguish the Spirit. So we need to be sanctified in spirit and guard our hearts lest we quench the Spirit. We grieve the Spirit. We lie to the Spirit. Lie to the Holy Spirit. It's possible to lie to the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, please. A couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira promised God that they would sell their land and give it all to the work of God. But yet the Bible teaches us that yes, they sold their land and only gave a portion to God. They said initially, we're going to give it all to God. And note Peter's rebuke in verse number 3, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. And God judged him severely. Verse number 5, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Ananias didn't keep his promise. He said, God, I'm going to do this. Did it partially. God took his life. Well, if God dealt with us in the same way, there'd be none of us here. I think this church should be empty pews. So don't lie to the Holy Spirit, beloved. If we're to be sanctified in spirit, if we make a vow to God, we need to keep it. And Peter said to Ananias, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. You've lied to God the Spirit. And also his wife was addressed and she also gave up the ghost, the Bible teaches us. Verse number 11, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things, and rightfully so. To tell God you're going to do one thing and do another is lying to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit indwells us as the children of God. Beloved, let's guard our hearts lest we grieve the Spirit. Lest we quench the Spirit, lest we lie to the Spirit, and lest we resist the Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 7 quickly. Acts chapter 7. Stephen preaching here, the Word of God. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your father did. So do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? So here, the man of God makes reference to resisting the Spirit. Look at verse number 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. It's a resistance, resisting the work of the Spirit. And then in verse 59, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So we see here an example of people resisting or opposing the Word of God. Now, these are unbelievers, but my friend, may I submit to you that you and I as a child of God can be also guilty of resisting the work of the Spirit. Where the Spirit of God convicts us or leads us and we don't respond and we get all stiff and stubborn and proud and we won't yield to Him. Beloved, that leads to an unsanctified spirit. So it's possible to resist the Spirit. It's possible to lie to the Spirit. It's possible to quench the Spirit. It's possible to grieve the Spirit. Who? The Holy Spirit who indwells us. He is without sin. He indwells us. We are the dwelling place of God the Spirit. And we need to be sanctified in spirit. We need to keep our bodies pure and holy because God the Holy Spirit indwells us. Careful lest we grieve and quench and lie and resist. Oh, Pastor, how can we maintain a sanctified spirit? Well, I'm glad you've asked. Ephesians 5 is a good place to start, is it not? Ephesians 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Asking God the Spirit to fill us daily, even a couple times daily. That's how we can maintain a sanctified spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, and then we will manifest the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 to 23. We need to be sensitive to the guidance of the Spirit of God, to follow His guidance, just like Philip the evangelist there in Acts chapter 8, please. Acts chapter 8, verse number 29, the Bible reads, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself to this chariot." Follow His guidance, beloved. God the Spirit indwells us. Let's follow His guidance. He speaks through His Word. He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God's Spirit is able to prompt. God's Spirit is able to lay something on our heart. God's Spirit is a person. God, the Spirit, indwells us. Let's maintain a sanctified spirit within our being by being filled with the Spirit, following the guidance of the Spirit, enjoying the fellowship of the Spirit. The fellowship of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, please. 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the fellowship of the Spirit in our lives. By walking with God, allowing God to speak to us through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and for God's Spirit to teach and guide and lead. God's Spirit also helps us to pray, does He not? Enjoy the fellowship, the communion of the Spirit. And last but not least, how can we maintain a sanctified spirit? Well, be filled with the Spirit. Follow the guidance of the Spirit. Commune with the Spirit, in fellowship, by reading the Word of God and in prayer, but also rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we sanctify the Spirit of God in our lives. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power." What a wonderful promise. And don't we need it today? "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Rely on the power of the Spirit of God. Don't try to live out, carry out the work of God in our own strength, because it is vain. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We need to be filled with the Spirit and to acknowledge the presence of the Spirit and say, "Oh, Spirit of God, you promised me power, and I rest in your power to be a witness, an effective witness." That will honor the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to follow the guidance of the Spirit. We need the fellowship of the Spirit, and we need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Pray for the manifestation of His power in your life daily. Beloved, we are to be sanctified in body, soul, and spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. Let's be careful lest we grieve Him, quench Him, resist Him, lie to Him. But let's be filled with the Spirit. Let's follow the guidance of the Spirit. Let's enjoy the fellowship of the Spirit. Let's rely in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, God is holy. He expects His children, His sons, to be holy. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So may God help us this evening to see the importance of being not only sanctified in body, sanctified in soul, but also sanctified in spirit. And that begins by you and I acknowledging the presence of the Spirit in our lives as believers and honoring Him. Instead of ignoring Him, most of us ignore the Spirit of God. It's true. Let's acknowledge Him. Let's honor Him. Let's not grieve Him. Let's not quench Him. Let's not lie to Him. Let's not resist Him. But let's be filled by Him. Let's follow Him. Let's have communion with Him. And let's rest in His power to carry out the work of the gospel. Let's bow for prayer.